everybody, and welcome.
Good morning.
To the Sunday morning adult discussion Bible group here at Wings Christian Fellowship, where we just love to talk about our Lord.
Amen.
Who would like to start us in a word of prayer this morning?
Father, we just thank you so much for the fellowship, the time together, the revealing of yourself to us, the exalting of your Son. Father, we just thank you and give you praise. We ask that you speak through whom you would speak and open the word unto us, Father, that we may have deeper relationship with you and know you even better. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, you know, we're actually in Matthew chapter 12, but we went down a little side hole into Isaiah 42. Mm-hmm. Rabbit hole that we've been in for a couple of weeks, and we've only got three or four verses left to do in Isaiah, and then we'll head on back to Matthew. I think we need to read from 42 verse 22 through 25. That is, unless anybody has anything else that the Lord is telling you to speak, or if there's anything from last week that you think we need to talk about. Okay. Anybody else? But whose turn is it to read today? I forget.
Mine. In your mind.
Yeah.
I also read, you know, chapter 43 went through. Oh, so good. So you want me to start, you said 20 what?
22.
All right. Isaiah 42, 22 to 25. But this is a people robbed and plundered. They are all of them snared in holes and hidden in houses of bondage. They become a prey with no one to deliver them, a spoil. Let me see where I'm at. A prey with no one to deliver them, a spoil with no one to say, restore them. Mm-hmm. This shows the condition that will ensue as Israel's punishment, that way in punishment for not recognizing the servant of the Lord and the day of his visit among them. Who is there among you who will give ear to this? Mm-hmm. Who will listen and hear in the time to come? Who gave up Jacob, the kingdom of Judah, for spoil, the kingdom of Israel, to the robbers? Was it not the Lord? He against whom we of Judah have sinned, and in whose ways they of Israel would not walk, neither were they obedient to his law or his teaching. Therefore he poured out upon Israel the fierceness of his anger and the strength of battle, and set him on fire round about, yet he knew not the lesson of repentance which the Assyrians' conquest was intended to teach, and it burned him that he did not lay it to heart. 43 is good too.
That's a big gulp. Truly is. I think I'm seeing something. Mm-hmm. You know, these the people, and who is it? It's the Lord's people. Mm-hmm. That's who he's talking to, people mm-hmm. of the Lord. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake and will magnify the law and make it honorable. Now God, the people wanted the law, didn't they? Mm-hmm. The people wanted a king. And these things I don't think, you know, the law can't help you except to point out to you your shortcomings. Mm-hmm. Which is
your need.
Yeah, your need for a savior. So, and then it goes down in 22, and this is sad because it's true. People think they're going along living their lives doing just what they should do. And they are. This is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, you know, under bondage. that they don't even realize they're under, because they are glorifying the wrong things. They are trying to achieve the wrong things, trying to achieve their will instead of God's will.
Mm-hmm.
They just want what they want when they want it. And, you know, that's where the law came in, to show you that that's not the way to the kingdom. So there they are. Or shall, can we even say, and here we are yet today.
Yeah.
Robbed and spoiled, and none of them, and they are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. Giant prison houses that look like castles, some of them,
mm-hmm.
all around. But yet, they are prison houses because they are so in bondage to the upkeep and the amount of time they give their lives to the keeping up of their wonderful prison home, you know,
mm-hmm.
their five prison cars, their, you know, so many things, all things that are not God. They are not God.
Mm-hmm.
They're chasing after things that are not God. And they are hidden in prison houses, and they are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none says to them, restore. And then it says, who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? And it's the right before that, last week when we were talking about people who hear and do not, you hear and look, but you're blind and you're deaf. You think you're hearing, you think you're doing, you think you're keeping all of these commandments, but yet they are not, they are traditions of men, and they are your own selfish exploits, and they go on in their lives, and they don't see that they are truly missing the blessings of God. That's the way I see that.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that God did to draw them, turn them, like you were saying here about knew not the lesson of repentance, was
mm-hmm.
the Assyria.
Mm-hmm.
Conquest was intended to teach,
mm-hmm.
and it burned them, and he did not lay it to heart.
Mm-hmm.
So those things that God was doing all was to turn them unto us, unto himself. But then I went down and was reading in 43, and I thought, you know, and all these things, and daily we're going through things. Daily God is speaking to us. Daily he is giving us choices to choose him or our way.
Mm-hmm.
This morning I laid out and he kept giving me the song, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine, thou art the potter, I'm the clay. And mold me and make me after thy will. As I'm waiting, yielded and still.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's given the song, it's a new hour, it's a new day. It's a new revelation,
mm-hmm.
and a new revealing the Father and exalting the
mm-hmm.
Son, changing God's people and making them one.
That's
and
right.
This is
mm-hmm.
what he's doing.
Yeah.
So after all these things, we each have our cross to bear, each thing that God is doing, each thing that he's speaking, you know, to our heart. He says, but now, in spite of past judgment, for Israel's sins, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you,
mm-hmm.
ransomed you by paying a price instead of leaving you captive.
Mm-hmm.
I have called you by your name, for you are mine. And it goes on talking about when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, He said, you will not be burned or scorched, nor the flame kindle upon you, for I am the Lord your God.
Amen.
The Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt to the Babylonians for your ransom, and Ethiopia to Seba, a province of Ethiopia, in exchange for your release, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and because I love you, I will give men in return for you and peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you, and I will bring your offspring from the east, and offer from the east, and where they are dispersed, and gather you from the west. And it goes on saying about, he's doing all this by my name, whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, and whom I have made. And that's what he's making us all. It's just,
you know, if you rightly divide the word, there's nothing there except hope and glory.
Yeah.
And he has, I find a lot in that. He says, now thus saith the Lord that created you, O Jacob, and he that formed you, O Israel. He created both Jacob and Israel. They are one, you know? And he created him as Jacob. Not fully grown, not spiritual, not, you know, like Adam. Jacob was a heel catcher. Jacob was all these things. And yet, he's the same God that formed thee, O Israel. Now, Israel, he didn't say, I created Israel. Israel had to walk the process to become Israel from Jacob. Mm-hmm. As every single one of us have to walk that same process to realize the difference, and God is perfectly capable of walking us through it.
Yes.
It just amazes me. I never get tired of hearing it over and over and over again. It's almost in every scripture verse. There it is. If you have, it's just like he said back in 42, if you have the ears to hear, and you do hear, you see, you perceive, you know, you not only just hear it here, you hear it here in your heart. You let it change you. You let it form Israel in you. It's just so beautiful.
You know, that verse too reminds me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Verse 2. Oh,
God's,
yes.
God's love was in their hearts,
yes.
And they heard and understood. And the fire didn't set up on them, nor did it scorch them.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have
no smell
of smoke.
Yes.
That's good.
Every single one of us have waters to pass through to become a fully grown son of God. When you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, they shall not, you shall not be burned. Oh. And yet every one of us will go to, because we were created by him as Jacob, and we're being formed into Israel by him. He has paid it all. It is finished. Before the foundation of the earth, his plan was complete. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Says even everyone who is called by my name, who I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, whom I have made.
Yes.
Goes on saying how we are his witnesses, says the Lord, my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know me, believe me, and remain steadfast. steadfast to me, and understand that I am he, and before thee, before me there was a no God formed, and neither shall there be after. I am he, the Lord. So beautiful, so what he's doing. And we're in hard places, and being and going through things, God would have us to remember this, that we are precious in his sight, and he's not wanting to destroy us, but he's wanting to change us. Oh, yes. Mm. So beautiful.
Oscar, got something?
Well, yeah, there's a couple things I can say. You know, I like that first verse that you guys read about, you know, Jacob have I created and Israel have I formed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you were saying, Kathy, there's a difference between something being created and something being formed.
Mm-hmm.
Created is a finished product at that particular thing. When you create something, it's done. It's created. When you form something, it's a process.
Yes.
And like you were saying, and the thing about it is when you realize what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it says, how be it that which was natural came first. Mm-hmm. Now, according to what a lot of ministers try to say, they try to say the spiritual came first. Because they say Adam was lowered down into a lower realm, you know. I'm not real sure about that at times, because he was made a living soul.
So, yes.
Okay. Not and if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll see that we bore the image of the earthly, and now we must bear the image of the heavenly. You know, the first man, Adam, was of the earthy. The second man was what? The Lord from heaven. He was a spiritual man. And some, I think, people try to make man in Adam into a spiritual man more so than what God intended. You know, when he said he formed him, he created him. But also, when you realize the difference in the name, the heel catcher, the supplanter, and Adam's name also means a man of low degree. You know, if you Adam's name means a man of low degree. And why would God call him a man of low degree if he was a spiritual man from the beginning? You know, like people tend to try to make it. Now, I'm not saying after man came to earth, when God created him out of the dust of the ground, you know, because when he breathed in him the breath of life, that was a part of God that was breathed into man. And I'm not saying that we weren't with him in that sense, because he calls us Elohim, which is basically, you know, the name for God also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but in Psalms 82. But the thing about it is that when when you realize that he called him, he named him Jacob, or he allowed him to be named Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Jacob had went into the wilderness and had tried to steal his brother's birthright,
mm-hmm.
and doesn't the Adamic man or the carnal man try to steal the birthright of the spiritual man,
mm-hmm.
all the time in your life? He does, you know, because it's trying to fulfill the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and all that kind of thing. And you know, when you realize that when Jacob had his encounter with God, and when he went back, you know, when after he had been in Laban's house, and he went back because God told him to go get up and get back into his own country, you know, and basically when he had his encounter with God, and he supposedly had a hold of God to the point where, I'll not let you go till you bless me. And what did God say to him? He said, what's your name?
Yes.
What's your nature? Who are you? What's your character?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Well, I'm Jacob. I'm the heel catcher, the supplanter, I'm all of those things. And basically, he also was saying, I'm the old Adamic nature, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And God was saying, well, from henceforth, your name will be Israel.
Yes.
And Israel means he shall rule as God. And some mm-hmm. people say it's a prince or a prevailer of God, but it literally has the meaning of he shall rule as God. And when he rules as God in your life,
yes,
then you become a son of God, you know. And you have to come to that realization that you don't want that name of Jacob anymore. You want that name of Israel. And what does Scripture say up in the New Testament? We try to talk about Israel over there. Mm-hmm. It says, they are not all Israel which are Israel, but in Isaac shall your seed be called. Isaac was the son of promise. You know, and what did Isaac's name mean? It meant laughter. And what does it say about Jesus? He was anointed with the oil of gladness, what?
Mm-hmm.
Above his fellows, see? So he was the joy of God, the laughter of God, because he came to redeem man from, to become he became the total redemption for mankind. I'm trying to think of the other word, the atonement.
Oh, okay.
And the word atonement is three words
mm-hmm.
put together, compound word, at one ment, if you spell it, at one ment. And what's his whole purpose? What did Jesus keep saying in all of his high priestly prayers that he prayed before he went to the cross? Father, I pray that they might be
one.
You and me and them.
Yes.
And he said the world's not going to really believe until that happens. And they're not going to believe until that happens. But that's why that as we grow up in Christ and we begin to present the nature of God to people, the love, the mercy, the forgiveness, and all of the things that Jesus came to do, because he said, these works that I do shall you do, and greater works than these. Well, the greater works is bringing all of mankind up to that. That's what, and I won't keep going because I'll preach a whole sermon if I keep going. But
mm-hmm.
anyway, like it says in Colossians, he said, he talked about that he might present every man
mm-hmm.
mature in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he said his ministry was that he might basically present every man, not some men, not a few men, not just the folks that go to church,
mm-hmm.
not just the ones that say, bless God, I'm this denomination, I'm that denomination, and we got all the answers. No, it's not that. It's he wants to present every man mature in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I love what the Phillips says about that. It says, if reality were to break forth, we would be just like him.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is that he's already paid the price. He's already accomplished it all because it was finished. We have to experientially walk into it
mm-hmm.
as he shows it to us and opens it up to us, you know. And, the actual definition for the word Israel in Strong's, it literally means he shall rule as God. And, you know, they in the scripture there, they said one place a prince or a prevailer with God. But if you look at the actual word in Strong's, it means he shall rule as God. And, you know, when he rules as God in our lives,
yes.
then we begin to become more and more into that image, you know, because
yes.
we begin to really see him as he is. And that's why even when I shared with you guys a weeks back about what it said in Ezekiel, that he had visions of God,
mm-hmm.
and that word for visions there is a word, it means mirror visions. And who do you see when you look in the mirror? You see yourself. Well, what's he saying? He's saying, when you learn to see me in you as being yourself, then you're going to begin to come into the full revelation of this thing. And we do, but we still go in and out of it,
yeah.
you know. And thank God that it's going to take him bringing us to a place where we go no more out. And when that happens, like it says in Revelations, Then I'll write upon him the name of my God and the name of my city, of the city of my God.
Yes, Jesus.
And what was the name of the city of God?
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. And the name Jerusalem means, it means dual, but it also has a meaning, if you study it out a little bit, it means to point with the finger, to aim, you know, like to teach peace, Salem, you know, Jerusalem, Salem, you know, and if those two words break down to teaching peace. And what does Scripture say about blessed as the peacemakers? What are they going to be called?
The children of God.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. See. So it all goes full circle and fits all together as you really look at it. And it's so beautiful. God's word is so perfect.
Yes.
I mean, it's a shame that a lot of people don't have eyes to see it and don't have ears to really hear it. But it's coming. You know, it's coming. And the ones who do, you shouldn't feel puffed up or anything, because it's not anything of you. It's that he decided to let you see it. And there's coming a time when everybody's going to see it, I believe. And everybody's going to come into it, you know. But I like that you went into those scriptures. Those are beautiful scriptures. I love those. Those are beautiful scriptures, yeah. And some of this stuff over here, you got to realize, like I told you last week, and I'm going to be quiet after I say this, after I told you last week, there's at least three levels of Scripture. There's the historical level, there's a level on the soulish level, and then there's the level on the spiritual level. And what we have to do, every time we read a Scripture, that's why what I tried to teach those young men that came to me and asked me one time to help them, show them how I studied, and I told them, I said, well, I asked those five things. Who is it talking about? Who, what's it talking about? Why is it talking about it? Who, what, why, where did it happen? And then how? How does it apply to me? Mm-hmm. And you know, you can read the historical part of the scriptures and it's all true and it's wonderful, you know. But how does that particular scripture apply to you? And when you begin to look at it like that, every scripture in the Bible in some way applies to you, because this is a love letter from God to his people. It's his written word, and it will witness to the living word inside of you, that you've been born again of that incorruptible seed of the word of God. But anyway, now I'll be quiet. I don't like to say too much. I always feel like I say a little more than I probably should.
No,
but
let it go.
Yeah.
But that's beautiful. I mean, you know, it's I love what you, because you hit it right on that, hit the nail right on the head when you was talking about there's a difference between being created and being formed. You know, form is a process. Mm-hmm. And you know, the Lord gave me that poem about the potter, you know, the mm-hmm. processing of the Lord mm-hmm. continues each day, mm-hmm. working mud into clay. The clay is forming with his right hand, making a vessel fit into his plan. After he's placed it upon his wheel, twisted and turned and spun with his zeal. Beauty of the vessel is apparent to see, but if you fill it with water, it no longer will be. For the water will cause it to sag and to fall, for the strength of the vessel is not there after all. But the master must lift it with both of his hands, the right and the left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that left hand ain't always the fun hand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right hand is, that right hand, there's pleasures evermore. Master must lift it with both of his hands to process it further, that it might meet his demands. Into the fiery furnace it must go to be tested and tried, as willing to show. Strengthen the vessel, cause it to be a vessel of honor and dignity. For the value of the vessel is not the vessel at all,
no,
but what's contained by the strength of its walls. And what's contained by the strength of his walls is the water of his word.
Yes.
Until he fills the vessel all the way to the top. And then something miraculous happens. It turns into new wine.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes.
Just, the marriage feast really takes place then. You know, praise God.
The processing of the Lord in Isaiah 43:2. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say, if you pass through the waters or any deadly thing.
Mm-hmm.
He says, when?
When?
He is going to process you. It's not even in doubt. Every knee shall bow.
Right.
And, you know, he says, when you pass through the waters.
Right.
And remember, when you do that, the old Jacob is going to go, ah! But I will be with thee.
Well, think about the waters when Israel passed through the waters.
Yes.
When did they pass through the waters?
They
passed first through the waters. The first time was them coming out of Egypt, out of the world.
Yeah.
On their travel to the promised land. You know, and imagine this, I mean, you're coming up to the Red Sea, or what, I guess it was the sea, the Red Sea there. You're coming up to the Red Sea, and it's pretty daggone far all the way over to the other side of, to where there's land. And, you know, then Moses raises his staff and God parts the waters. Now, even when he parts the waters, think about, you have to go down and walk through water on this side and water on this side, which
walls
of water that could just totally overwhelm you. But they pass through on what? On dry land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then think about when they got up later on to get ready to go into the promised land. They came to the Jordan. And when they came to the Jordan, what happened there? It said the high priest or the priest carried the Ark of the Covenant down into the brink of the water. And when they carried it down into the brink of water and stood there, then everybody else passed over. And the Lord dealt with me one time about that, about that. Like, you know, I've had people tell me concerning this church here, you know, when I say that I have a lot of the people in the church speak and mm-hmm. stuff, I've had ministers tell me, oh my God, I can't believe you do that. You know, like, you got to be really careful doing that. And I basically was telling them, no, I don't. I said, you know, we're a body ministry, you know, all that kind of stuff. And you know, a lot of ministers will not let you get in their pulpit for anything in the world, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they won't. I mean, they're even reluctant to let other ministers get in their pulpits, you know what I mean. But the thing about it is that you have to be willing to let everybody, and I felt like the Lord told me one time, they camped at a place called Shittim, where there was, that's where it was, that was a weird name, but it's a thorny place,
mm-hmm.
before they crossed over into the promised land. And God told me, this is what I felt like God told me, he said, son, you're going to have a servant's heart. And he has said, a servant's heart will be willing to stand in the brink of the water,
yeah.
and watch everybody go past you, go farther than you went, even. And that's not, you know, that's not an easy thing when, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If you feel like God has revealed a lot of things to you, to want everybody to go on beyond you, you know what I mean? That's why a lot of ministers try to hold people in their church and try to keep them in a position where they don't want them to go farther. You know, I thought about when Brother Eddie said to me a couple of times, actually in conversation with him, he said, Oscar, how do you find out the things that you know? He said, I went to seminary, and he said, I didn't learn some of the things that you're talking about, you know, in seminary. And Brother Eddie, the deep word in the Lord, he was very deep. But some of the things that God would show me and open up to me, I didn't hear him preached until years after he had opened that up to me, you know, originally. That doesn't make me anything. It's just whatever God shows you, he shows you.
Yeah.
But what you have to be willing to do is to share that and see other people grow beyond you. That's why I don't get upset if somebody feels like that the Lord is sending them out to do something else from here. We got a very small group here. You know, and you know, some of the brothers that moved up into deeper truths, they've left, you know, and that's okay. If that's what God's got them doing, that's exactly what they should do.
Mm-hmm.
I had one person say to me, when I told you that I was going to leave, you didn't try to talk me out of it. Like they were, They felt I should have tried to talk them out of it. I said, brother, I said, I'm never going to try to talk you out of what you feel like God wants you to do. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, I mean, if Mark come to me and said, Dad, I feel like the Lord's calling me to do, he's my son. And if he said, I feel like the Lord's calling me to do this or do that, I'd say, well, you should do exactly what he tells you to do.
Right.
I mean, you know, and if it comes to a place where sometime where this place is done, then it's done, you know, and it accomplished whatever was supposed to accomplish. And it won't, I don't expect it to do that just because of me or anything, you know what I mean? I expect the Lord to finish whatever he's doing, whatever it is. But I mean, when I hear, you know, some of the things that God opens up to you guys, that's why I like to sit back if I can and listen to you all, because I know what God's shown me over the years, and I love to hear what he shows you, you know, and that's what you got to walk in. You can't walk in somebody else's revelation. You got to walk in the revelation God gives you. But sometimes, you know, in some of this stuff, it's kind of funny, but, you know, it's a process. We're all growing. And I felt like the Lord said, son, to me, he said, son, I'm giving you a servant's heart. And he said, you have to be willing to step down into the brink and let people go past you. And you know, that's most ministers don't want people going past them, you know. But I'm going to tell you, if you're a servant in God, you will.
You will, because you look at your children.
It's your children. I want my children in the natural to do better than I did.
Yes.
You know, and in spiritually speaking, so to speak, if you're a minister, you should want the people that you minister to go past you, grow past you.
Grow up.
Yeah. But, you know, it's what, you know. That's just sort of the way I feel about it, you know, and so many of those things, like we talked about this morning, about, you know, even about, you know, howbeit that which was natural and then came the spiritual, you know. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it should be read many, many times. You should read that a lot. You should ponder it. You should ask God what it all means. Because there's a lot of super deep truths in that. I mean, super deep. And he even talks about Jesus, and even everything will be turned back to God, you know. And we know Jesus was God in the flesh, but you know, there's some truths there that are pretty deep. But sometimes I disagree sometimes with things that people say in the deeper truth stuff, because it doesn't tell me anywhere that Adam was this exalted being. It doesn't really tell me that. I mean, why did God name him Adam?
You know, he said he created him a living soul.
Soul, that's right.
So what's your soul?
Yeah.
It's all the unfinished parts of you. It's your will.
Yeah.
It's your emotions. Can you imagine, right, Adam? That's
your
why
intellect,
he was running.
All of those things. That's
that
your soul.
Man
that makes up your soul.
That had high blood pressure. That's what made his face all red.
Yeah.
Just from being so excitable and being swayed from one thing to another.
Well, and a lot of the deeper truth people, they put Adam up into a higher realm, and then he was lowered down. And I'm not saying that he wasn't spiritually before God formed him, you know. But, you know, and eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there was not no apple there. It wasn't no apple, folks. It was not that. It was partaking of trying to figure this thing out with your mind, trying, you know, eating of that carnal nature, you know, of that not the mind of Christ thing. But when he says, howbeit that which first was natural and then came the spiritual, well then, because if that was the case, why would we need to be born again? You know, scripture says we need to be born again. Mm-hmm. Born why? Why born? Because we were born of the earthly. Mm-hmm. Now we have to be born of the heavenly, you know. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you make that acknowledgement of Him and learn about Christ in you being the hope of glory, that seed's inside of you. And it's probably always been there. But I love what Brother Eddie preached one time about, you know, these people went into one of those pyramids and found some seeds in there, you know, and they'd been in there thousands of years. Pyramid was closed up for thousands of years. They took the seeds out and planted them, and the stuff grew. Why? Because it had the nature of whatever was in that seed. And we've been born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. It can't bring forth nothing but God, you know, as that seed is put in the right environment, the environment of, you know, the water, the earth, the sun, you know, so to speak.
Wow.
And
yeah,
you know, but
and
anyway,
it germinates.
Yeah,
that's, you know, germs just, they live.
Well, and why do you think so many of them parables were about farmers?
Mm-hmm.
He that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of me. Why would he say that? Well, a farmer would understand that instantly. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you've got a mule or something or some kind of oxen or something pulling a plow and you start looking back, guess what's going to happen? Your furrows are going to go all over the place, you know. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way, you know. So, you know, but, you know, it's kind of funny because all of those things were really so simple. And people who understood the things of the natural should have understood the things of the spirit. But a lot of times they try to make it so lofty and away from what the natural things are. It's not really like that, you know. When we understand the natural things and really understand them with a spiritual perspective, then you can see exactly what God was doing in most situations and most circumstances. People are still looking for them to build a temple over in Jerusalem. And I've been hearing things where they are not even sure that the original temple was on the Temple Mount. They're not really totally sure about that. And, you know, there'd be a World War III if you tried to start building that temple on the Temple Mount with that mosque being up there. You know, all of the people in the Muslim faith and stuff they'd be wanting to kill you. But it's you never know about a lot of this stuff. It's crazy.
I read this little thing, it's called Lucy's Farm or Farming, and I don't know why I'm attracted to it, but I love it, just kind of, and I love, because, you know, I like to bake and I like to grow things, it's so beyond me, but it's so simple. Now, if you've got this going on with your plant, mix a little of this, put some lemon water with some this and that, and pour that on there, and it'll take off like crazy. And if you got this going on, take, you know, get some milk. Some plants like to have some milk. Mm-hmm. And it blows my mind. You don't have to go to a store and get a bunch of high-priced chemicals to throw on your stuff to keep the bugs away and the things away. Oh, you just take a little of this and take a little of that and mix it up and throw it on there. Oh, they just love it and they eat it up. That's just, God knows exactly what we need to thrive and to bear fruit.
Right.
There's so much in every little thing that you read or you do if you see it.
Well, you know, even I've told you when my uncle would mm-hmm. plow the fields and he'd want to plant corn. And you know, they poke a hole every so often, you know, for the seeds to fall down in. You get the furrows and then you know. And you wouldn't just drop in one seed. You'd drop in two or three seeds, you know, in each one. You know, because if one didn't grow, one of the other ones would. So, you know what I mean? And, you know, but And what did they fertilize the seed with? What did they fertilize the field with?
Rainwater.
Manure.
Oh,
something
yeah.
that was considered nasty.
Yeah.
Something that was considered waste.
Not
so even the waste and the things that we go through in our life, they're things that will make us grow. Just like the giants in the land, you know, they'll be bread for you. The giants in the land are the giant situations. We all have giant situations come up. Loved ones, jobs, all kind of things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And those giant things, if we'll acknowledge God in it, will make us grow like crazy, you know. But anyway.
We don't call it manure anymore, we call it compost. And
compost,
we pay a lot of money for it.
Yeah.
It's just
and even when you do composting at home, what are you taking out there and dumping in your compost bin?
Garbage.
Garbage.
I tried to do it one time and it didn't. I wasn't
garbage, yeah.
To do it.
So it's actually it's kind of comical sometimes when you think about it, you know. But
they say the best manure is human waste.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you ever told anybody that you've used that,
they make you take it up
on your food or anything, they'd have a fit on you. Mm-hmm. But you're probably right. I mean, that's right.
When I lived north, not further than what we are now, this guy, he was from Germany, and he put human waste on his land so he could, you know, like fertilize it before he
mm-hmm.
plowed it up, and they made him come and scrape every bit of that up.
Wow.
Because I guess it's illegal.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just think all that is floating in the air, so who
yeah.
knows?
Well,
but that human waste is the first, and then chicken manure is the second.
Yeah. Well, they used to. My uncle had horses, had a couple horses
mm-hmm.
and stuff, and they used to shovel out the stalls every so
yeah.
often, and they put in a big pile.
Yeah.
You know, they'd throw it away, put in a big
yeah.
pile out in one of the bin, you know, on the bins, and then let it sit there for a long
yeah.
time and get. They'd mix straw in with it or something
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. Next thing you know, I mean, that was great stuff to make things grow, you know.
Well, you know, you gotta amend the soil.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it is.
They clean out the stalls so hay and stuff is mixed grain too.
You know,
we used to go out there and dig out redwood worms and fish with them.
Yeah. Well, and just think of what worms do. They eat dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the greatest thing you can put in your garden,
right.
Worms, because they'll aerate the soil and they actually fertilize it because they eat the dirt.
Worm poop.
And they process it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, you know. Well,
Lord Jesus help us.
God knew what he was doing when he created everything that he created.
Yes.
The only thing that I wish he hadn't created was flies and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I hate flies.
Yes.
They aggravate the life out of you, especially the ones that want to bite you. You know them, them horse flies and stuff.
Yeah, I feel sorry for horses.
Yeah,
and
they
cows.
Make them bleed. They make them bleed. They bite them so hard.
Well, even lay. Sometimes they lay eggs.
Yeah.
I remember one time. I don't want to talk about it, but I was helping my father milk the cows, and you had to put straps on the cows, and then. They had the milk machines that go under.
Mm-hmm.
I put this strap on the cow and ran my hand down the back and I hit this little thing like a bump sticking up. I thought, what is this? So then I looked at it more closely and it was like a tough piece of skin. I said, what is this, Dad? I said, flip it off. And
mm-hmm.
I tried to flip it off. I couldn't even move it. And he came and bam! And I looked and saw what it was. And it was, you know, like not a worm, but it was a larvae.
Like maggots or something?
You know, like getting this food from the cow.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to step on it and mash it. I couldn't. It was just like, it's like tough skin.
Mm-hmm.
So I had tromp. I finally broke it up.
Mm-hmm.
I feel sorry for cows and horses because they can't get it off
of
them. Well, I think it's time to stop. we have somehow lowered this conversation to cow poop.
Things of the natural.
Yes, indeed. Oscar, would you close us in a word?
Yes.
Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together, and we ask you, Lord, that anybody that hears this class here, that as we talked, and that you by your Spirit would just open it up to them and let them see the glory of you and the wonder of you and all of the things that you do. And we thank you, Father, and we ask you as we go out into the other service that you would just have your way out there, Lord, and let us just enter the high praises of God. And let us have that two-edged sword in our mouth. And Father, we thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Amen.